crews are still working along the Mississippi River near DeSoto to open roads and a rail line after a derailment yesterday. The accident sent several rail cars into the river. It's Friday, April 28th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Danielle Kading brings us an update on how the state is distributing $8 million to address Wisconsin's ongoing opioid crisis. And we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about the many symbols on the Wisconsin state flag. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Assembly Republicans unveiled a plan yesterday that would change the way the state funds local government services. As Sean Johnson reports, it includes the power to increase local sales taxes in Milwaukee.
The Assembly GOP plan would let the city of Milwaukee levy a 2% sales tax and let Milwaukee County increase its sales tax by less than a half of a percent. They'd be able to use the revenue to retire old pension debt. It was negotiated by Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, among others. Voters would have to approve the sales taxes first, but Voss says he's confident leaders can make the pitch.
You know, there are many proposals around the state where it does, sometimes it doesn't, but I think we have excellent salesmen.
The plan is part of a broader GOP proposal on state funding for local governments. While details are still in the works, it would devote 20% of the state's sales tax to shared revenue, the same number Governor Tony Evers called for in his budget. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A freight train derailed near DeSoto yesterday, sending multiple cars into the Mississippi River. The derailment happened around 12:15 in the afternoon Thursday, according to BNSF Railway. A Crawford County Emergency Management Specialist told the Associated Press that about 20 cars were involved in the derailment. Officials say there is no threat to the public. The train was carrying batteries, oxygen, and paint, according to a county official. All crew members are accounted for, and local first responders are on site. On Thursday night, the track in both directions was blocked by rail cars, and many roads to the surrounding area were closed. There was no stated timeline for reopening the tracks or the roads. It's unclear if recent flooding in the area played a role in the derailment, but BNSF says the cause of the incident is still under investigation. Madison's police chief hopes to see body cameras on some officers by this June. Chief Sean Barnes told reporters Thursday that policies are still being finalized for a pilot program that would equip 4 dozen officers with the body-worn devices. Barnes says he plans to submit a proposal for the Common Council's approval next month.
I believe in the product, but I think it's more important that we have a process that our community members expect.
The council voted last year to test out the cameras in a limited form, but Alders stopped short of green lighting the cameras for use department-wide or on a permanent basis. Some city leaders have questioned the cost and whether the technology would truly hold police accountable. More than 4,000 people could access treatment for opioid addiction through $8 million in grants awarded by state health officials. The funding comes as Wisconsin has witnessed record opioid-related deaths. Danielle Kading has more.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services announced the grants Tuesday for 22 counties and 3 tribal nations. Paul Krupski is the agency's director of opioid initiatives. He says the funds will support treatment for heroin and fentanyl, in addition to drugs like cocaine and meth.
This will support the evidence-based approach to medication-assisted treatment for opioid use disorder, and that includes all 3 of the Food and Drug Administration approved medications, so methadone, buprenorphine, and naltrexone.
In 2021, more than 1,400 opioid overdose deaths were recorded in Wisconsin, eclipsing a previous record. Data for last year is not yet final, but some counties continue to report a record number of overdose deaths. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you. A lawsuit claiming the University of Wisconsin system failed to protect women on UW-Whitewater's campus from sexual harassment has been dismissed. Rich Kramer reports the suit alleged inappropriate behavior by a former chancellor's husband.
The suit was filed in 2021 by former student Stephanie Gettle Vanderposs. She alleges former Chancellor Beverly Copper's husband, Pete Hill, commented on her looks and initiated hugs without consent. On one occasion, Vanderposs claims Hill reached under her skirt and touched her inappropriately. Federal Judge J.P. Stadmuller dismissed the case with prejudice late last month. His ruling says Vanderposs and her attorney, Lyle Blackburn, failed to preserve and produce evidence requested by UW attorneys. Stadmuller said Blackburn engaged in a sweeping pattern of deception and ordered him to pay the UW's legal fees, which are nearly $18,000. Hill was banned from campus in 2018. Copper resigned later that year. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Green Bay Packers are getting some defensive help after the first day of the NFL draft. The Packers selected edge rusher Luke Van Ness from Iowa with the 13th overall pick in the first round of the draft on Thursday night. The team moved up from number 15 to number 13 as part of the trade, which sent quarterback Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets. Speaking of the Jets, they selected edge rusher Will McDonald IV with the number 15 pick. McDonald is a Wisconsin native who graduated from Waukesha North High School. He played college football at Iowa State. There are six more rounds left in the NFL draft. Teams will resume making selections today. Coming up, we've got a Wisconsin Life piece about the Wisconsin state flag. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen, who explores the meaning behind all those symbols on the Wisconsin state flag.
We've received many listener questions through WPR's Wisconsin Project. And as we combed through them, we flagged a particular question. It came from Xander, a fourth grader at Mineral Point Elementary School.
Hi, my name is Xander. What do the symbols mean on the Wisconsin flag?
So to help us decipher all the symbols on the Wisconsin state flag, and there are plenty of them, I spoke with Matt Blessing. He's the Director of Collections at the Library and Archives at the Wisconsin Historical Society.
So the Wisconsin state flag, like a lot of other state flags, was actually adopted in 1913. The main body of the flag is sort of a navy blue. Blue represents traits like wisdom, trust, truth. But in 1913, what was really important was blue represented loyalty. When you look at the elements of the state flag, at the very top of the design, you have the state's motto, forward. Beneath forward is a relatively small badger. You have a miner. That's a reflection of early Wisconsin history and lead and zinc mining in the Driftless area, copper mining in northern Wisconsin, and it's a tribute to Wisconsin's workers. And across from the miner on the left-hand side, you have a sailor. And between them is a golden seal that has symbols of four different trades: navigation, manufacturing, mining, and agriculture. And then smack in the middle of the golden shield is a small red, white, and blue coat of arms. And surrounding that coat of arms is the national motto, E Pluribus Unum, one out of many, a recognition of our role in the larger nation.
And then right below the miner, we see a stack of 13, what are those, lead bars?
Right. Directly beneath the miner is a pyramid stack of lead ingots. And that, again, is a little bit of mining history, a little bit economic boosterism about the state's mineral resources. But 13 is important because it's representative of the 13 original colonies.
And then next to the lead ingots, we can see everyone's favorite horn of plenty, the cornucopia.
Right. That's, of course, central to have a cornucopia about Wisconsin's agricultural history. So overflowing out of that cornucopia, you have grapes, apples, and what look like oranges. Now, I don't think oranges have ever grown in Wisconsin, so that might be something that needs to be corrected.
So I'm no Marie Kondo, but to my eye, it looks a bit cluttered. I might call it the Sergeant Peppers of state flags, yeah?
It's a little busy. To the modern eye, I think a lot of 21st century people gravitate to simplicity, which is sort of a central element in a lot of flags that attract people. But there aren't as many teaching opportunities with those flags as what you have in Wisconsin. So I still like it. I'm biased because I'm an archivist and a historian. I think we're fortunate to have a flag that we can be proud of and really be used as a teaching tool in Wisconsin schools.
That was Matt Blessing, Director of Collections at the Library and Archives at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Submit your own Wisconsin question, and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Carl Christensen.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.